This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Some phenomenal moments from college sports over the past decade, the past 10 years. And we've talked about a few of them, from Chris Jenkins and Villanova winning the NCAA title on a buzzer beater to UVA getting upset as the first ever one seed to lose to a 16 seed. Remember UMBC, the Golden Retrievers. Phenomenal. And yet the Cavaliers, the Hoos, came back in improbable fashion to win March Madness a year later. I mean, that's the kind of stuff you just can't make up. If it was scripted in a movie, we wouldn't believe it. We'd have to suspend our disbelief to accept that that's actually what happened. And then Clemson, Alabama, their battles back and forth. And now we get set to start a new decade with some Tigers. Clemson, the defending national champ, against LSU in the college football playoff. That also is one of the major stories of the last decade. The fact that college football finally went to a four-team playoff, replacing the BCS system. So what are the top sports stories and moments of the last decade? We're halfway through our first show of the new year, or our last show of the old year, depending on where you are, how you're looking at it. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio, live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They found a better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house a home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. A lot of stuff going on this hour. We're starting out 2020 with the first edition of Ask Amy Anything. So it is technically our hump show, though a lot of people are out of their regular routines and on vacation. I wasn't here last night because I was spending the evening with my family. My brother and I, we were watching the ball drop the final 20 seconds with my niece and my mom a few hours ago. And my brother said to me, as the ball is, as they're counting down, the ball's getting ready to drop in New York City, when was the last time we were together for New Year's Eve? I mean, I can't remember the last time I had family with me, or I was with family for New Year's Eve, because my job has taken me all over this country and very often keeps me away from family for long stretches of time. And so the last 10 days, my mom has been with me. Her husband was with us for Christmas week, and then he went back to Houston. And then my brother and my niece showed up on Sunday, and we've had so much fun. We've baked and we've cooked. We've done puzzles. We went to see Star Wars. Epic. That was our Monday evening. We walked around the mall. Not so epic, but that was what my niece wanted to do. We just really enjoyed the time together. And I can't believe they're all leaving on Monday. I can't believe they're all leaving on Wednesday. It feels like a Monday because it's the start of something new, right? Like Monday to start the work week. And so I'm going to be depressed this time tomorrow. I know it's a fantastic start to a new year, and I'll be here, of course, and the NFL playoffs are not that far away. But gosh, just thinking about my family leaving and the house being empty again makes me sad. So I will need you all to pick me up. So here we are, thinking about endless possibilities of a new decade and a new year, but we're also looking back. Top sports stories and moments of this last 10 years. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We'll get back to your calls here momentarily, but I like to share the audio. I'm a radio junkie, which means that I'm all about what I can hear and the sounds of an incredible moment in sports. But also because producer Chris worked so hard to dig these puppies up that I feel like we need to share them with you. Now, we've been talking about a bunch of the various Super Bowls, but how about a moment from the last decade that captivated the sports world and beyond? And yet it wasn't actually a Super Bowl, but it was a playoff game.
And here we go. First snap of the overtime. The Broncos have been in three overtime games this year. They won them all. Got him at the 40. It's Thomas at the 50. Stiff arm got him, 3 to the 30, to the 20. Thomas to the 10. Denver's going on. The New
studio. I was working that night. I was in a studio at my previous network. It was 2012. So I had not yet joined. Well, CBS Sports Radio didn't exist then. And I have been a Broncos fan since age 13. Tim Tebow's taking over at quarterback with the Denver Broncos in 2011 season. So it was the 11 season. It was the 12 playoffs. That was like Linsanity, right? It was that type of a story. It was so captivating and so unlikely. And then they get to the playoffs despite having, I think it was a 500 record. They win the AFC West. They get to the playoffs. And then in overtime, the very first snap of OT, Tim Tebow finds Demaryius Thomas on a crossing pattern, and boom, he's gone 80 yards all the way to the house to stun the Steelers. And I just remember I was in a studio at my previous network, jumping up and down and screaming my head off. And my producer, who was on the other side of the glass, tweeted something along the lines of, man, I wish I had video of Amy Lawrence and her reaction to Tim Tebow and the Broncos winning that playoff game. And it was so the last thing you would have ever thought would happen, which is, again, one of the reasons that I love sports and love my job. So that was the call on CBS, right, with Jim Nance. Why is he and Joe Buck are really the voices of many of these incredible moments from the last decade in sports? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Since I mentioned the NBA, there was this phenomenon in 2012.
Jeffries, another rebound. Lynn for three. Bang! The Jeremy Lin Show continues here in Madison Square Garden. Lynn on the drive, gets inside, banks it in. Wow!
How about that? How about that? He did not want a screen. He wanted to take his man, come up on the other side of the rim.
The calls on ABC, just a sampling of Linsanity. For 3 weeks, NBA fans and non-NBA fans. How do I know this? Because my sister-in-law was watching every single game that Jeremy Lin played. She maybe watches one NBA game a year, but she's Filipino. She's Asian. And Linsanity appealed to her, and Jeremy Lin appealed to her. And all she could talk about for weeks was Jeremy Lin. He was maybe the best player in the NBA for 3 weeks in 2012. So how about that? Linsanity. I even wrote a blog post. It was one of the first ones that I ever wrote in my blog, because I started my blog in 2012. And it was titled Linsanity in My Family. And just how that phenomenon with Jeremy Lin brought my family together in front of a TV to watch NBA games. We'd never really done that before, not going back, and not since the days of which I was a teenager. And so that was pretty phenomenal. You had both Tim Tebow and Linsanity within a couple of weeks of each other in 2012. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We know that there have been various Olympics over the past decade, as well as World Cup. So these are international events. And as I was writing my list out, I kept coming back to some phenomenal, just memorable, but also moments that, because they're so few and far between, they only happen every 4 years in summer, every 4 years in winter. They really dot the decade, and you can't ignore them. And so Olympic moments certainly have made my list.
A Jamaican changeover was terrific, and all of a sudden you've got Tyson Gay versus Johan Blake, and Blake's winning this one, and here comes Usain Bolt. He has the baton, and it's Bolt versus Ryan Bailey, and Usain Bolt is moving away, and Jamaica retain their title, 36.85, and the world record has been taken apart. Oh, I say, what a way to finish an Olympic Games.
Usain Bolt, fastest man in the world, and the fact that he did it in multiple Olympics, winning the 100 meters, the 200 meters, of course, anchoring the relays for Jamaica with that 100 meters you hear on the Olympics radio network from the YouTube channel. Just an incredible feat, because he was able to maintain his speed and his dominance for years. This is a sport in which you're talking about pure speed and power, but the fact that he did it over the course of multiple Olympics reminded me of Carl Lewis going back to when I was a kid. And so Usain Bolt in 2012 and 2016, so we're speaking of the last decade, winning golds, multiple golds in London and in Rio. But while we're talking about Olympics, I present to you Michael Phelps, my friends. You can't ignore Michael Phelps if we're talking about sports in the last decade. 4 gold in London, 5 gold medals in Rio. He then retires for the second time, or was it the third time? The second time. Anyway, he retired after Rio, and he ends up the most decorated Olympian of all time with 28 medals. 28 medals, but to do it, at, again, at his age, and to continue to win the way he did with 5 gold medals in Rio, we all celebrated that as sports fans, but specifically as fans of the red, white, and blue. Also in the Olympics, seeing the U.S. men win curling gold in 2018 was pretty awesome. I know we have that audio. Can we play that one as well? Because that was pretty amazing. Let me know when you have it. This is a sport that the United States really has not been, forget being on the world stage, has not been relevant in, but not even, how many people actually knew that the U.S. had a curling team until 2018 in South Korea?
Doesn't quite roll enough. This is a potential double for 5 and maybe gold for the U.S. Can he get it? He can! 5 on the board for Team USA! He realizes the writing is on the wall. And that is it.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. And it happened in the middle of the night for many Americans, and yet you had people watching it live. That was on NBC. U.S. curling skipper John Schuster became a household name. He led the Americans to a 10-7 victory in that gold medal game against Sweden at Pyeongchang in the 2018 Winter Olympics. And we heard the names over and over, Matt Hamilton, Tyler George, just it was awesome to see these guys become cult heroes almost. And so that was something we never expected from the past decade. Lots of cool international moments. And again, with the Olympics, with the World Cups, because they only happen every 4 years, and because we have the opportunity as sports fans, regardless of where we are in this country, regardless of our rooting interest, when it comes to the NFL or the NBA or NHL or Major League Baseball, the flag, USA, the red, white, and blue, that brings us together, and we can all have a common bond that we just don't share very often in sports. And so we love those moments in my family when in various states we're all watching the same events. I could also mention Simone Biles and what she did in the 2016 Olympics in Rio, winning 4 gold medals. And now, of course, is world champion again and getting prepared for the next Olympic Games. What are your top sports stories and moments of the last decade? Producer Chris is retweeting a bunch of them. So on our Twitter, After Hours CBS, but also on my Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then our Facebook page. And about 20 minutes from now, 25 minutes from now, we've got the first Ask Amy Anything of 2020. Also, Happy New Year to you in Nome, Alaska, Barrow, Alaska, Juneau, Alaska, where I went whitewater rafting. I was so cold by the time I got done whitewater rafting in Juneau, Alaska, that I could not even work my fingers to untie the laces on my boots. I was so cold, but it was an amazing, amazing experience. Anchorage, Alaska. It's a happy new year, and we appreciate those of you who listen in Anchorage, the 49th state of our great U.S. Okay, so 855-212-4227. We'll get back to your calls. Happy New Year. Happy New Decade as well. It's just another day, right? And yet it feels so different. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Iguodala to inbound. Shumpert trying to stay with Curry. Catches. One dribble. Steps back. Puts up a three. Won't go. Rebound tip taken by Spades. Final seconds. It's over. It's over. Cleveland is a city of champions once again. The Cavaliers are NBA champions.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Someone asked me on Twitter whether or not we'll ever see Cleveland win another championship, or will it happen again in the next decade? I have no idea. I certainly think that the Indians always have championship aspirations, especially after getting back to the World Series a few years ago. The Cavaliers are once again in a very down cycle since LeBron took his talents to Hollywood. And as for the Browns, well, they're hitting the reset button again. And I say it all the time, constant change and constant transition and constant turnover in sports equals constant losing. But the Haslam family has chosen to not only fire Freddie Kitchens, but also fire the guy who hired him and the guy who brought in this, I think, diverse group of talented players, which is why there were so many expectations. Now, I don't agree that the Kitchens hire was the right way to go, and I don't mean that with hindsight. I said it at the time. I felt like the Cleveland Browns should have hired someone who had wisdom and experience and could walk into a locker room with credibility and equity, and maybe they do that this time. They're potentially looking at Josh McDaniels and maybe giving him some autonomy. The story goes that they were trying to limit the power of general manager John Dorsey, which is why the two sides chose a mutual parting of ways. But of course, Dorsey would have stayed if they'd left him, his job description alone, left him alone. I just can't believe they're doing this again. I keep thinking they're going to settle. They're going to stick. They're going to have some patience. And yet it doesn't happen. And here they are, 17 years without a playoff appearance, the longest drought in the NFL. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. I saw this tweet from way back at the beginning of the show, and I wanted to make sure that I mentioned it because I think it's awesome. Dave says the Bills ending the playoff drought on New Year's Eve 2017 was tear-jerking and incredibly emotional. Now, you may or may not remember, but the Bills were on the road in Miami, and they had taken care of business, but they needed some help. They needed the Bengals to beat the Ravens, but the Ravens were leading for most of the game until Andy Dalton connected with Tyler Boyd, 48 seconds to go, I believe. And it was a long touchdown. And the Bengals stunned the Ravens in the final minute, putting the Bills in the playoffs for the first time in the century. And yes, extremely emotional. I spoke with Lorenzo Alexander at that Super Bowl, even though they didn't win their first playoff game. And he just took us inside the locker room and what it meant to all those players, and especially the longest tenured Bills. And so that was awesome. And now Sean McDermott has them back into the playoffs for a second time in 3 years. Let's see. Azer says the biggest sports story of 2019 is Andrew Luck retiring and also Tiger Woods winning the Masters, which we've talked about. Frank, I'm sorry. Tiger Woods winning the Masters, says Frank as well, because everyone thought he was washed up and the personal problems he went through. I don't know about washed up. It was injuries and the constant surgeries and back problems. And yes, the personal issues he created on his own. And so for him to, at his age, into his 40s, to win the Masters, another green jacket after 11 years, that definitely is one of the top sports stories of the decade. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. And there's so many cool ones that you're mentioning. Colleen says she's listening on Sports 1140 in Sacramento. She has to go with the Chicago Cubs World Series win. My dad was a huge Cubs fan and he wasn't here to see it, but my love of sports came from him and my grandfather. And then she says, Happy New Year. Paul, one of the top sports moments in the past decade, the Penguins back-to-back Stanley Cup championship runs. It was the first time in the NHL salary cap era a team was able to win back-to-back cups. Let's talk to Charles, who's in Birmingham, Alabama. Happy New Year. Welcome to After Hours.
Same to you, Miss Amy.
Thank you.
Look, I don't know what's going on with the Dallas Cowboys, but this brand has got a spell on all us Dallas Cowboys. I don't know, fans. I don't know what's going on with Jason Garrett, but this spell they got on us fans, got us rolling around in the grass, and we don't even know why. And I don't have enough clothes to get my clothes dirty. So I'm going to make it seem, I'm going to make a final statement on this. I will not buy another hat, another coffee mug, no shoes, no socks, no underwear until Jerry Jones make a change. And in closing, I want to say a happy new year to everybody and try more love, less hate, and more patience. The star is falling, Jerry Jones, and it's falling fast. You can make a change and make a change now. And I just want to get your comment.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised there hasn't been a change yet. I thought by them losing the NFC East and really going back to week 16 where they lost control of their fate in the NFC East, that to me felt like it was the backbreaker. And yet there have been two really productive meetings so far with Jason Garrett, according to reports, and no announcement yet.
Yes, ma'am, but we're going to be joining Cleveland soon if you don't make changes.
I mean, yeah, 10 years, nearly a decade for Garrett in place with the Cowboys is a long time. So in that case, a change, it's not at all like Cleveland because that's all they do is change. Garrett's been with the Cowboys. They've made some runs to the playoffs. They've won a couple of games here and there. But it might be time for new leadership and new voice, and I would not be surprised if they let him go because all Jerry has talked about is how disappointed he is over the past couple of weeks. So
well, you can change that by going get Urban Miles.
Okay. I'm not a huge fan of college coaches making the jump directly to the NBA, to the NFL, but we'll see. I mean, he certainly has a bright football mind. Charles, thanks so much for your phone call. Happy New Year to you. Let's quick talk to Justin, who's in Arkansas. Welcome to After Hours. Happy New Year. Justin.
Yes, ma'am.
You're up, sir.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Hey, Amy, it's a pleasure to be on your show. I appreciate it. I know you hadn't been on the air very long, but I listen quite a bit. I'm kind of a night owl.
Awesome.
I kind of want to put a little bit of a twist on your decade of excellence. You spoke earlier about what makes a, you know, good play or a good game. Hope, promise, possibility, you know, the idea of like kind of overcoming the odds, mm-hmm. being bigger than the game.
Right.
You spoke of like the Peyton Manning, Brett Favre, you know, Tom Brady, stuff like that. I'm an Arkansas fan, born and bred. So if you don't mind, I might put a SEC twist on your decade of excellence.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
I think my top three SEC all times, and I am a little Arkansas favored, you know, mind you. But I think number three I'd have to say when Cam Newton beat Alabama. When they overcame a 24-0 lead, I think.
Okay.
And then I think number two would have to be Kentucky beating Florida what was that, last year? I think they overcame 31-32 continuous streak loss. I think you got to take a couple of those things into account. Just when you have to play each other every year, that's a long time to get beat and finally overcome the odds. Now I'm going to have to throw my Arkansas love in there as a play and as a player. The Hunter Henry heave against Ole Miss in overtime. 4th-and-25. You know, Arkansas has been known to play in some really long games. If I'm not mistaken, they own two of the longest games in NCAA football.
Oh, heavens.
And that one was just a thriller.
Good.
And one of the better plays I think I can remember in a while.
Awesome. Well, I do appreciate the SEC twist. I like it when it comes from a particular region or fan base. And it's never bad to look through your own lens. In your case, with Arkansas, the Pig Suey lens.
Well, I've been listening for a while, and I've heard a lot of good things, and so I figured after a while you just got to put a twist on it.
Well, I talked about the kick six. I talked about the Iron Bowl in 2013. We even played the final call.
And I agree, and I, you know, as an Arkansas fan, I really hate to say it, but that might be one of the greatest of all time.
All right, Justin, thanks so much for listening. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you. Thank you.
That Cam Newton comeback against Alabama, I had to look it up because I didn't remember the date. It was 2010. Now we've got Cam Newton's future hanging in the balance with the Carolina Panthers and in the NFL. So what a difference a decade makes. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Straight ahead, your chance to ask Amy anything. So please send your questions to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and also on our Facebook page. Love to hear from you. And we're starting off the decade the way that we finished the last one. This is our regular hump show staple.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Some things will not change with the new year or the new decade. Thanks so much for all of your questions in advance for Ask Amy Anything. We do it the middle show of the work week, the middle hour of the entire work week. And I know this is an atypical week, and some of you are listening who've never heard the show before or rarely get to hear it live. We're glad to have you on board. It's Ask Amy Anything, courtesy of your questions and producer Chris deciding which ones that he wants to ask. Happy New Year to you from us here After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. And I think I'm ready to make this bigger and better than ever in 2020.
And we will start the first edition in 2020 with a question from Randy. He checks in from Shallow Water, Texas, which is in Lubbock County. So thanks for telling us that, Randy. He wants to know, Amy, why is orange your favorite color?
That is a great question. When I was younger, one of my best friends, she was a high school basketball teammate, loved orange. And she was always talking about orange, about the brightness and how cathartic it was and how much fun the color was. I never really thought about orange before that, but I started processing and thinking about it and decided, you know what? She is right. It's fun. You can't look at something that's orange and just not be moved by it, at least in my case. And then as it turned out, I went to Syracuse to get my master's degree, and orange then was solidified as my favorite color and also one that meant a lot to me. And yeah, I think it's cheerful. It's bright. I think it always raises my moods and my spirits. And so, yeah, I don't know. Orange is just, it's happy. It's a happy color. I love orange.
The big orange box is where you find the questions every single week.
That's
for
right.
After Hours, Ask Amy Anything.
Hold on. All the way through my college career, even though when I played college hoops, my colors were blue and white, I wore an orange scrunchie. Anyway, carry on.
All right, we'll go to David next. He wants to know, do you make and how often do you keep New Year's resolutions?
I make resolutions of sorts, I guess, and I do work really hard to keep them. But I also, more than resolutions, come up with a theme or a phrase for the new year. I haven't yet come up with a new one for 2020, but in 2019, my phrase was have faith. And it was something that I continually came back to. And it was one that really carried me through the year in moments of uncertainty and different challenges, both personally and professionally. And so I do try to focus on a particular theme, something that I think I need to improve on or work on, or just something that I know, you know, is going to help me in the direction that I want to go. Now, there are things that I want to do every year. For instance, I would like to be more patient in 2020. That is definitely a New Year's resolution. I want to be kinder, not just when I feel like it, but all the time. I want to be better at keeping my house clean. You know, there's lots of things that I want to do. I want to get married. So there's lots of things that I would love to do in 2020, and they kind of are a perpetual list. But more about making an impact, more about not just taking in grace, but giving out grace to others, being more forgiving, not holding on to the small stuff, not sweating the small stuff. Those are things that I think are ones that I focus on every year.
We'll check in with Anthony next, who says he loves the show and wishes you a happy New Year's.
Thank you.
And he wants to know.
Wait, did you say happy New Year's?
Happy New Year.
Yeah. Happy New Year's.
Happy New Year's.
No. Wait, do you spell that with a Y-E-A-R-S or Y-E-A-R apostrophe S?
I think it's apostrophe S the way I'm saying
not,
it.
I don't know. If it's Happy New Year's with an apostrophe, it needs to be Happy New Year's Day.
Fair enough.
Okay.
I mean, there's not more than one of them, right? So, but he wants to know, who are some of your favorite underdog athletes in all of sports, any sport?
Underdog athletes currently?
All time.
Really? Well, we were just talking about Jeremy Lin. How about underdog athlete there? And I would say the same thing with Tim Tebow, and that just happened in 2012. I mean, Tebow's an incredible physical specimen, but in terms of being a world-class athlete at the NFL level or even in Major League Baseball, the fact is he's an underdog that a lot of people cheer for, and he refuses to give up. So let's see, underdog athlete. How about Boston Scott? This one just comes to mind because of the Philadelphia Eagles and their nonstop injuries. And he was undrafted and unsigned, and then he's able to step in because of the injuries they've had. And how many times did he flash his pearly whites in the last 2 weeks for the Eagles as they clinched the NFC East? Gosh, what are some other underdog athletes? This is so bad when people put me on the spot and say, of all time. Are you going to help me out? You can help me out if you want.
I mean, I guess Tom Brady could be considered one of them.
Okay, yes. Tony Romo could be another underdog athlete.
From a size perspective, you could go like a Spud Webb or a...
I gotcha.
From the NBA.
So not underdog necessarily in terms of how we think about it. UMBC, those are some underdog retrievers right there. Underdog athlete. How about, oh my gosh, don't tell me, Sister Jean. Sister Jean. Yes, well, I forgot the school, though.
Loyola of Chicago.
Loyola, that's right. Oh my gosh, this is how quickly things disappear when we're talking about decades. Undersized, though, how about Spud Webb? How about even Russell Wilson at only 6 feet, right? So, okay, undersized, underdog, I think I mentioned enough. I'm sorry. Kerry Strug. There's another one. I'm not good at being put on the spot.
No, that was good. We got almost like a dozen right. names in there. Okay. I think that covers it. We'll go to CK next. I don't know why his question would ever come to fruition, but I think it's fun if it ever did.
Uh-oh.
He says, if the bosses at CBS Sports Radio told you that you couldn't use American Woman for your show open, what would be some other songs you'd like to consider?
Wow. Well, Billy Joel, you may be right. I may be crazy, but it just may be the thing you're looking for. Now I'm like listening to this music and trying to sing it at the same time. Anyway, that's my favorite Billy Joel song, because you may be right. I may be crazy. Let's see what else. Oh my gosh. I mean, we could work a little, Kelly Clarkson or Carrie Underwood into it, just cause it's some good girl power. And, I like some of their defiant songs. I think are pretty awesome. I'm a huge country music fan, but I know we probably couldn't get away with that. How about some Whitney Houston? I love Whitney Houston. I still listen to her music a lot. Beyonce. What? Independent Woman, right? So that we could do that one too. It's got to be something with some girl power. Girl is the one I have fun. Talk about a throwback. My nieces tell me the 80s and the 90s are back, so maybe that. That's funny.
All right, we'll check in with Ian next. He says, Amy, what do you think is the worst, quote-unquote, look into the future movie stereotype that hasn't come to life yet? And what I think of is things like Back to the Future, The Time Machine, or AI, artificial intelligence with robots ruling the world.
Huh.
Is there one that you think that's been in a movie that you've seen that you're like, that's just stupid?
Yeah, all these movies about aliens from other planets, there's no indication that there is life forms on any other planets. We don't know that to be the case, and yet somehow we're fascinated with the idea that we're not alone in our solar system and there must be life forms on other planets. Actually, I don't know, but as for all of the movies that are made about inhabiting Mars, there's one right there. There's no way. We can't We would never be able to be outdoors on Mars. We really want to live inside in spacesuits for the rest of our lives. So yeah, I think all of the movies about space travel and inhabiting other planets, to me, that is absolutely ludicrous. I mean, the amount of time it takes to get there, that movie Passengers, but all the technology, and then what? You're never going to go outside for the rest of your life? And we already know from astronauts who've gone into space and come back, the idea of what it does to your physical body, because our bodies are not made to live on other planets. So yeah, that kind of stuff is dumb. We're going to inhabit Mars. We're going to go make Mars our second planet. Seriously, stop it. Oh,
all right, let's get back to reality with the next question. Then we'll go to Eric. He says, what are some characteristics you look for in a man on a date?
Really? We don't typically do these types of questions.
Feeling
but
a little frisky to start the new year.
You are. I am. Let's see. Okay, funny. If you can make me laugh, that's a really important quality. But I'd also say this. And I do not mean about sports. Yes, I can talk about sports. I do not want to talk about sports. It's what I do for a living. But if you and I can engage in intelligent conversation, I can feel challenged, mentally stimulated. Just the idea of being able to talk about history or talk about movies or talk about travel or talk about maybe even science or what we were just talking about, inhabiting other planets. Can we have a conversation in which I feel engaged and I feel as though you're as interested in some of these other topics as me? I don't want a guy, or I don't want to date a guy who can't get past my job. It's a job. If I don't know more about sports than you, then I shouldn't be in this chair. It's not a competition. I work my ass off to be where I am. So yes, I know more sports than you do, but it's not a competition. It's also not something to be intimidated by. And so guys who can get past my job, which honestly, that's been the number one stumbling block of the last 15 years. It's why I'm not married, because I can't seem to find one who is proud of me and appreciates the hard work I've done. So I'd say seeing me for someone other than Amy Lawrence, the radio host, but also someone who wants to take care of me. I mean, I'm strong. I'm independent. I'm tall. I'm 5'10". I'm not a little girl. I'm not a petite person, but I still want a man who can take care of me and who wants to take care of me. So those are just some of the things I look for. Probably not all on the first date, but thank you for asking. What in the world?
Brian's playing DJ over here.
Oh, just want to have fun.
Yeah, I can see that.
That's right. All right, we'll go to Michael next. He says, Amy, Happy New Year. Question for you. Would you ever consider doing another song or a rap because you were great in the last one?
Oh, I appreciate that. For those of you who haven't heard it, Brian, now's the time where you should be playing DJ. I did a version of Yo Roger Raps with the voice of AT&T Stadium back a few years ago. And we did, well, it was a throwback rap for me. It was one that I worked really hard on, and I tried to be authentic, though I felt really stupid recording it. But it's on our YouTube channel, and we play it every now and then. I would consider it. It would have to be for a good cause. It would have to be kind of a collaboration with someone. This year in 2020, I want to do a battle of the bands, though, because we've had some really cool musical submissions from listeners. We've got some talented musicians and writers out there. So we'll do a battle of the bands in 2020. And I do believe Brian will entertain you with my one and only rap song. So my rap debut as we start the next hour.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.